It is good to be here this morning. We had a lovely wedding yesterday, Luan and Pietru. It was good. I enjoy weddings. Weddings are good. And so I want to share with you, we're starting this, giving you an introduction to this morning of the way of peace, finding the path to relational harmony. This whole term, we actually want to focus on relationships. And this past week and weekend, I just realized again the importance of relationships. And earlier this week, I was in Cape Town. I was ministering there and ministering to some up-and-coming church leaders and ministers. And at the end of the time of ministry, this one lady, she said to me, she comes from a very poor area of Cape Town, and she said every time we pray or people pray, that she feels sort of like a heaviness, a darkness on her soul. And she experiences, she says she actually becomes nauseous as well every time people start praying around. And I told her, well, I don't think that's Jesus. That's not the will of God for you. And so I told her, I think you need to go get someone to pray for you and minister to you for freedom. And she said, well, why don't you pray for me? Said, okay, I'll pray for you. It's a bit late in the evening, and said, I'll pray for you. So I prayed for her, and as I was praying for her, I just felt the presence of God flooded the place and was really touching her. And as I was praying for her for breakthrough, the Holy Spirit, God just spoke to my heart and told me she was raped. And I didn't say anything, so I just started to pray into that. But as I was praying, I felt God whisper this to my heart, to her. Basically, I felt God telling her, what people did to you doesn't define you. I define you. So I felt God was saying, what people did to you doesn't define you. I define you. And so she had a powerful encounter with God, and she was weeping, and the Lord set her free right there on the spot. And she found peace in her heart. And then afterwards, she spoke to me and she said to me, I was raped by a close family member. And so that just spoke to me on different levels. On the one level, there's a way of pain. Sometimes people do things to us and it brings destruction to us on the inside. But I have good news this morning. Jesus is able to turn that around. Jesus, whatever has happened in your life, whatever has been done to you, Jesus is able to bring healing. He is the way of peace. Whatever disappointments you've experienced in your life, Jesus is able to bring peace to your heart and your soul. Whatever it was, even if it was a physical rape, there's no one like our God. There's no one as beautiful as Him. He brings healing and restoration. So sometimes things are done to us. And I want to tell you this morning, you're not a victim. You have the choice. You have the power to choose to forgive and to be set free. Forgive so that you can open the prison doors to yourself. So on the one hand, people do things to us, foolish things to us, and it causes a way of pain. And often we do foolish things. We find ourselves doing silly things and we lead ourselves onto the way of pain. And so I want to share an account with you. John G. Lake, an American missionary to South Africa beginning 1900, he raised up 1,250 preachers, 625 congregations in South Africa, and 100,000 converts in 5 years. In 5 years. That's impressive. I would say that's ministry success. So he was the founder of the AFM church, the AGS, and also the ZCC, the Zionist church. They went a little bit, not necessarily where they started off with, but okay, praise Jesus. But it all started within 5 years. Now, John G. Lake was married and he had 7 kids. They all moved to Johannesburg and the ministry schedule was just absolutely hectic. And then It says, in South Africa, Lake was stunned with the most devastating news he had ever encountered on December the 22nd, 1908, while he was ministering in the Kalahari Desert. His beloved Jenny died. His wife died. Most accounts of Jenny Lake's passing attribute her death to malnutrition and physical exhaustion. When John was away, scores of sick people would wait on his lawn until he returned, and Jenny would feed them while they waited with what little food she could spare. Mom with seven kids. She did all that she could to make their stay as comfortable as possible until her husband's return, and in so doing, she neglected her own physical needs. Lake, John G. Lake, had become so absorbed in ministering to others that he wasn't aware of what was happening to the health of his own wife. And that so spoke to me. Could we be so absorbed with other things in our lives that we are not aware of what is happening to the relationships close to us? And so the end result was all the children, all seven of them, felt greatly neglected and became hardened by bitterness. They all turned away from God, and they all turned away from their dad. And then Lake grieved his lack of attention to his children. It says he would later write in a letter that the many miracles wrought at his hands, literally tens of thousands of miracles, were personally unfulfilling and not worth the loss of his family. Oh, that spoke to me. He would say that the many miracles wrought at his hands, all these signs, all these wonders, all these things that happened, were personally unfulfilling and not worth the loss of his family. So that spoke to me. And in his case, it was ministry, but I think it can be anything. Anything can take the place of that which is truly of value. And as my wife can come stand with me. I did this a few weeks ago as well in the Shofar George. I just felt God wanted me to take a stand for, you know, if you don't take a stand for what is truly valuable, you will fall for something that's not valuable. And so I want to make a declaration or take a stand that my wife and my child is more important to me than ministry success or any form of success for that matter. I am a pastor to my own family before I'm a pastor of this church. Ministry starts at home. Ministry starts at home. And there is no success without relational success. No form of success outside of the home can make up for failure in the home. And I believe there needs to be we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand for what is truly valuable, for what is truly precious, for what is truly, I believe, God's greatest gift to us on this earth, relationships. It's about relationships. And so I've settled this in my heart. And it's in a sense what we want to speak about over these 3 weeks is finding the way of peace where relationships can truly flourish. And my wife wants to sit. I'm going to allow her to sit in a moment. But, you know, God has done great things over the last year and a half, 2 years. We've seen 280 plus people physically healed. I promise you, those miracles do not fulfill. Relationships fulfill. Relationships fulfill. And so I want, in a sense, in the spirit, want to take a stand and to say, you know, when I'm 60 years old, 70 years old, I'm not going to have an empty home. I'm not going to have an empty home. It's not worth it. Amen. Let's give a hand to my wife. So I want to encourage all of us to make a value shift to that which is truly important. What is truly important, I remember my grandfather, he was a doctor, a professor, and the family would sometimes joke, they would say that his patients would feel more cared for than his own family when they were sick. You know, you'd like, you know, get over it type of thing. But with patience, he would make so much effort. And, you know, if If you're a businessman and your customers feel more cared for than your own family, something is grossly wrong. You know, if whatever we might be, a doctor, a teacher, or a businessman, or whatever it might be, family first. Ministry begins at home. Ministry begins at home. And I know many of us here are not married or necessarily, so you must adapt the context for where you are at or make a note for some time in the future. But the bottom line is relationships are important, even if it's just friendships, to fight for friendship, to fight for authentic relationship. You know, you are first, if you're a husband and a father, you are first a husband, you are first a father before you are whatever else. Let's make that value shift. Relationship is the mission. Relationship is the mission. There is no success without relational success. And I'm not just talking about marriage. If you're single, we don't make an idol of it. It's not the ultimate of life. But I'm talking about relationship is critical. You know, if you are a billionaire at the age of 50, but your house is empty, there's no one to bless with all you have. I'm sure you'd be willing to give up all your billions to have a beautiful, loving marriage again. I would. So let's redefine success. Success is to have relationships that work. Relationships that are real and special and a blessing to this world. So I want to give you a quick introduction for what we're going to focus on. How to get onto the way of peace. You see, it's very hard, if not impossible, to have peace without relational peace. It's, I believe, almost impossible to have peace in your heart, but you have severe marital conflict. And so, true success is to have that relational peace or harmony. And wisdom is the key. We're going to be speaking about wisdom. Wisdom is the key. We're going to be sharing about the book of Proverbs. Give you a quick background about the book of Proverbs. It was written by Solomon, King Solomon. His name means peaceful. And it describes his reign. When King Solomon was king, God said that he's the wisest man ever. Before and after, there would be no one like him. He was a wise man. His name meant peaceful. And the result was his reign was peaceful. The least violence in all of Israel's history was during his reign. Why? Because I believe wisdom was applied. You see, the presence of wisdom is also the presence of peace. And I think sometimes our relationships can seem violent. It seems wild and crazy and scary and painful. And I believe wisdom is the key. Wisdom is the key. So let me read this to you. Proverbs 3 verse 13. See, wisdom provides the way of peace. So it says there, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Let's say that, finds wisdom. And the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. And her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with this. So this speaks about wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Isn't that beautiful? Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Let's say that all her paths are peace. There's something about wisdom that leads us onto the way of peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So it says that he who finds wisdom, so you can find wisdom. It says you can gain understanding. So you might, guys, some of you might say, I cannot understand this woman. I can't figure her out. Well, I've got good news to you. It says the man who gains understanding. You can gain understanding. And the New Testament says that we must dwell with our wives with understanding. Some felt that's a joke. What they say is wisdom comes from God. so that we can understand how God has wired the one he's put us with, or maybe just a friend, or the people in our lives, maybe just understanding your boss, or understanding at work, but we need to understand the people around us so that we can love them in a way that they can understand. So many times, Sonic and I, we've missed one another. It's like, okay, let's talk about this. Is every now and again we'll hit the moment. We've never experienced this scenario. And we sort of, little nuclear explosion. Not big, just a little one. We miss one another, and it's like, okay, let's talk. And then I'm thinking, this woman, she. And then when I actually listen and I come to a place of understanding of how she is seeing the situation, okay, makes sense from a woman's perspective. It makes sense. So I believe that's part of wisdom. It downloads understanding to us so we can actually understand and then do and love in a way that makes sense to our partner. So it speaks of that her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. So you can apply this to any facet of your life. When we walk in wisdom, there will be peace. When we walk in wisdom, there will be peace. When we walk in foolishness, you get back onto the way of pain. You probably find yourself in a place of pain and disappointment. Okay, so to sort of summarize to you the book of Proverbs, it basically says it's good to be wise and it's wise to be good. That's sort of, you want to summarize the book of Proverbs. It's good to be wise and it's wise to be good. So I want to sort of use a bit of a parable. Brought a little bit of O Nederburgiso. From my hometown, Paul. Come on. Okay. So if I drink this, I would be dead in a minute. If you're fasting, hallelujah. Yes, there's something about that. Okay. That glass, nice full glass of wine, that's the mission. And not in the natural, in the spiritual. I'll put another disclaimer soon. The glass represents the environment that can contain the new wine. The new wine, the wine represents relational harmony, relational blessing. In the scriptures, new wine often speaks about the glory of God, the presence of God, the goodness of God. So the wine represents the goodness of God. The glass, or the scripture speaks about a wineskin, is the container or the environment that contains the wine. Okay, let me read a verse. Matthew 9:17. It says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins or an old wine glass, or else the wineskins break. You see, an old wineskin, if you put a new wine, it will literally break. It cannot contain the new wine. It says, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled. So in our sense, the goodness is spilled. If this glass breaks, the goodness is spilled. And the wineskins are ruined. The glass is ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. So wisdom, I believe, works in two areas. The one area, it helps you to build a glass. It helps you to build an environment that is conducive to relational harmony. And then secondly, wisdom helps us to pour the goodness of God into that container. And so that's what I want to share with you. Right, but first disclaimer, Proverbs 23:29. Scripture says, Proverbs is powerful wisdom. It says, who has woe Who has pain? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Verse 30, those who linger long at the wine. You see, pastor's job, I must do a disclaimer before you think I'm saying go wild. Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. Hey, lekker so lekker, nee. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent. Let's say it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Makes you think of a boxing quote. Stings like a bee. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. Yes, because you were drunk. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Isn't that foolish? Ay, ay, ay. You know, so sometimes you can do all the things right relationally for, you know, invest in your relationships. But one thing like this, drink too much and you will destroy. You will destroy. You will bring pain. You will bring pain. That's what it says. Who has wounds without cause? And so don't be foolish. Be wise. Be wise. You know, I have just so often seen the pain that it brings when people drink and they do things they wish they didn't and said things they wish they didn't. So let's be wise. Okay, that's the disclaimer. Moving on. Okay, I want to give you five very practical keys. Practical wisdom for creating an environment where your relationships can flourish. I'm going to be speaking primarily to the men. Ladies, sit back and enjoy. And practical wisdom to create an environment where you can risk, where you can contain the goodness of God. Okay, so you can contain. Okay, number one, create capacity. Create capacity. The wise knows that there's always a solution. Okay, what I mean with capacity, if you only have a little tot glass, there is not enough space for the goodness of God. So it can be time. It can literally be the schedule, the way life is happening in your relationship, in your marriage, that there just isn't time to actually invest in that. Now, the wise knows that there's always a solution. The wise knows that God is the solution to any challenge in terms of your life. So I want to encourage you to trust God for wisdom and creativity as to create capacity for the important things of life. Create capacity for the important things of life. If your work is too busy, or this is too busy, or that is too busy, and there's just no capacity for the relationships in your life, then trust God to make a way. The wise knows as well that time at the feet of Jesus is the source of strength. And so many, there's about 20 babies that's been born over the last year or so in this church. And it's tough. It's tough on the ladies. It's tough on the marriages. It's just hectic. And so you need to get creative. How are we going to do this? That there's time for mommy with Jesus, and there's time for mom and dad alone together, and there's time. Otherwise, you drift apart. You drift apart. So you need to get creative. Create capacity. So a few practical ways of creating capacity. If you have the finances, practically, to make it possible for your wife to cope, especially with kids, get a nanny. Get a dishwasher. This is profound. If you don't have the money, be the dishwasher. G- get help. Get help. Get someone to help to make capacity. It's not worth losing your marriage for the next 7 years because you've had three kids. It's not worth it. Best thing you can do for your kids is to have a loving relationship with your wife. Get help to take the pressure off. Get involved. Guys, if you have little kids, be at home from 5 to 7 in that crazy time. You know, be at home. I think everyone should be at home between 5 and 7. Quality time with your wife. But help your partner to cope. Help her to have time to rest and spend with the Lord to get that place, that source of strength. If you're too busy for your wife, you're too busy. If you're too busy for your kids, you're too busy. And so I've realized this with Sonica. I'm just always trying. I just know my wife is in good space when she's spending time with the Lord. So I'm trying to change whatever I can so that she can have time to create capacity. Okay, create. Let's say it, create capacity. And God is the answer. I don't know your situation. I don't know the challenges you're with. I don't know your work situation. But I tell you, God is the answer. God will make a way. Ask Him for wisdom. Okay, secondly, schedule time. Schedule time. The wise knows that relationships doesn't happen by chance. It takes deliberate action. The wise knows they need to continuously work at it. Continuously work at it. See, you need to keep this glass of which represents, say, the marriage or the relationship. You need to keep it full of this new wine. You need to fill it up continuously, weekly. You need to fill it up. So, practically speaking, do you have a date night? All the married people, do you have a date night? For the single people, do a dude's night or something, you know, but but invest in your relationships. You see, you need to build an environment conducive to harmony, conducive to the relationship, like a weekly date night. You see, if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. If you don't have a weekly time with the kids, it's not going to happen. Non-negotiable times together. That's what Sonic and I do. We have non-negotiable times that we know that glass is going to get filled up. We're going to spend quality time together. Are you investing? Are you scheduling it? You know, it can be any form of relationship. Single people, invest in your own future by babysitting. The Lord will bless you. All the parents with babies say amen. Amen. You can be a blessing to others. You can invest in others. So schedule it. Put it on your calendar. That's our time together. I see it sometimes with ladies. They like, if we can just have a little bit of time together. It's like, and then the weeks pass. And then they like, and they're hoping for that time together. And so if you have it scheduled, like Sonic and I, we take Fridays off. It's family day. So Friday mornings is date morning. So we spend time and it's like, don't phone me. I'm not available. I don't answer my phone. It's just time with my family. And Sonica knows we can be a hectic week, busy, busy, busy. But she knows Friday morning. And that fills the glass. So schedule time. Let's say it's schedule time. Good. Number three, be present. It's like pouring substandard quality wine into, it's like bitter, it's horrible. You see, the wise knows that it takes more than being physically in the room to be truly present. Do you know that? The wise knows it takes more than being physically in the room to be truly present. The foolish think it's enough to just be in the same house. It's like wife would say, we're not spending time. Husband, what do you mean? I was at home the whole weekend. But you were distracted. You were fiddling on your phone. You were watching TV. There was no quality time. So you can be physically in the room but not be present. You could just have all gone to work. Be present for your relationships. Be present, heart and mind, here and now, not like behind the newspaper. Yes, honey. What did I just say? Be present. Put the newspaper down. Stop fidgeting with your phone. Don't respond to the WhatsApp. I'm preaching to myself now. But have those time when we eat together, it's just us. No distractions. Not one eye on the TV. Not eating in front of the TV. Be present. Heart and mind there. Engage with your wife. Engage with your kids. Engage. Be present. I've shared this before, but sometimes, guys, sometimes we get stressed about work and about life, and so our heads are still with the project or the stress or the that or the that or the this. And resign in your heart. When you get in your car, you're on your way back home, 5 o'clock, you're driving, beautiful. Someone said that what they do is halfway to work, they have a specific point. There's a lamppost. On their way to that halfway point, they just deal with work stuff and hand it over to God and let go, let go, let go. And then when they come to the lamppost, it's focus on home, focus on family, focus on my kids, get my heart and my mind there. Okay. Be present. Let's say it. Be present. And you can apply it to any area of your life. Be present. Don't be distracted when you speak to people, when you connect with people or friends or wife or kids. Number four, think small deposits often. You see, the foolish think that they can make up for a year of being absent by one big holiday or big gifts. That's foolish. The wise knows small deposits continuously. Often, small deposits into the marriage, into the relationship. The wise knows that small ongoing deposits takes you much further in the relationship. The little things. When it comes to relationship, the key is small deposits, investments, often. Small is big when it happens often. The little things make the difference, like a card, a SMS, a hug, a walk in the park. To listen attentively, to do something in the house, to help out, whatever. But to the small things make the difference. The big things don't make the big difference. I see it sometimes in people's lives. Men who weren't at home, they tried to make up for it. Big house, big gifts. And everybody's saying, if you just sit and listen, if you just sit and spend time, that would be so much more valuable. Especially if you feel overwhelmed in your relationship, just start with little bits, little bits. Don't try and overdo it. The poor cup can't handle if you turn the whole bottle over and you want to. Just little bits. Little bits is the key. And then lastly, think long term. Sustainability. You need to protect the wine glass. You need to protect your relationships. If the glass breaks, it's possibly over. And so the wise thinks long term. The foolish thinks short term. The foolish guns for the here and now in the sense of short term goals, short term success, short term business goals or targets. In the process, you sacrifice the relationship. The scripture says a wise man is thinking of his grandchildren, his children's children. He's preparing an inheritance for his children's children. And so God is so speaking this to my heart. He's saying you can get short-term goals like John G. Lake. You can plant that 625 churches in 5 years, but it costs you your wife. It costs you your 7 children. Why not add another 5 years or 10 years. Do it over 15 years. And all the relationships are flourishing. Why not go for a promotion 5 years from now instead of in 6 months from now? And your relationships can manage. So my question to you is, your lifestyle, is it sustainable for your relationships? Is it sustainable for your lives, the way you are living? So you must think sustainability. You know, you want to put that sticker, fragile. Relationships are fragile. We can lose those we love, their hearts, so quickly. The power of wisdom is to see things lost. Lost. Let's say that, lost. We must live in a way that our relationships can last, that our families. Now, I want to leave a legacy. I want my grandchildren to serve Jesus with all their hearts. I want my wife, I want my child and other kids coming in Jesus' name to love church. To say, I love church. There's so many people that says we hate church because we've seen how it destroys relationship. We've seen how we've seen how people get on a mission for their goals and it's at the expense of relationships. I'm saying the mission is relationship. The mission is relationship. And together we will achieve our goals. But the mission is relationship. And together we will achieve our goals. So rather go slower, but achieve your goals. A year or two later, or 5 years later, but your relationships are flourishing. Amen. Amen. So this is my invitation to all of us. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Join us. Join us. Me and my house, we will prioritize relationships. And that's what I tell our leaders here in church. I tell them, you guys are more important to me than the goal we want to achieve through this church. Relationships come first. There is no success without relational success. Let's start asking God for wisdom. Let's ask God for understanding so that our relationships can truly flourish. Ministry begins at home. Let's make the necessary changes. Ask for wisdom. Ask for creative solutions for your relational challenges. Create a beautiful glass or container where your relationships can flourish. And pour in the goodness of God. Pour in the goodness of God. It was so precious this morning. I was just sitting in my one room where I pray. And so I was praying and sometime later, Vian, our boy, comes storming in. He was taking off his clothes and then he put his top over his one eye. And he stormed and said, I'm a pirate. I'm a pirate. And he jumped on my lap. And it's just so precious. You have to love it. I'm a pirate. I must take a video sometime. It'll show you. It's brilliant. But those moments is what's truly precious. You know, those moments is what makes life, you know, walking with someone, walking with friends, walking with people. That is what makes life truly precious. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for us. I just want to give an introduction this morning. Next week, Sonica will be sharing. She'll probably speak more to the ladies as well. And but I'm, in general, you know, guys, let's shape up. Let's be different than the world. Let's step up to the plate. Let's step up and be different. Let's fight for relationships. There's so many people saying men are not relational. I say that's rubbish. We must just reprioritize. We become relational. So I want to encourage you to do that. Amen.